Yo, what's up, guys? It's Phil.
And I'm Hill.
And we are
Phil and Hill.
Hey, guys, as you can see, we got a spot. You know, potential new spot for us. Hopefully, we can find a home here. I like the vibe. How are you feeling on it?
I'm chilling.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. This is nice. We were supposed to have a guest today, but you know, things scheduling gets out of hand. But we're not going to let that stop us from bringing you the vibes. So,
not at all. We're just going to keep it going.
Yeah.
All right. Pass the play. So, what movie do you feel, if you had to put it to one movie, what movie would you send people to watch to describe Will Smith?
I play. For me, it's a little biased because it's my favorite of his movies, but I also think it's accurate. If it were me, I would say Men in Black. And that's only because I feel like, most people, when they talk about his filmography, they go like Independence Day, like blew him up and put him on. But for me, I feel like Men in Black was when he really like arrived and was like, I'm here, my prime is about to start. Like,
yeah,
this is, you know? And I feel like his energy just elevates that movie to another level. Like, Tommy Lee Jones is great. Like, the deadpan stuff, like, he plays K. Like, I love Tommy Lee Jones as K. But, like, Will's J character from jump is automatically, like, he's funny, but you also, like, believe he's a cop. You believe that, like, he's doing whatever. And he's the audience's, like, person. Because he's, like, oh, what is going on here? What is this? What is that?
Yeah.
But he also buys into it. So because J buys into the world, the audience buys into the world, and then everything else from that point on becomes, like, the movie becomes way funnier.
Yeah.
The, like, even musically, like, the fact that his rap is at the end of the movie, the music video for Men in Black, I think he handles the action, I think he handles the comedy, even, like, the more, even though there's not a lot of them, but even the more serious moments,
you
buy into it. Like, it just... His character makes that world come alive. So for me, that's the one movie where you get all sides of Will. Because I feel like if you go Ali, or even Pursuit of Happiness, you go too dramatic. And then if you go, like, Hitch, it's too comedy.
Yeah.
So I feel like Men in Black is the perfect blend of all of his vibes. The action, the comedy, and a little bit of the drama. And then you get, like I said, then you get the music vibes because of the theme song. So it literally is all of Will Smith in one package.
Okay. That was, back to your, real quick, before I hit you with mine.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that, like, the movie that started it, but the actual movie that brought the character out, it kind of has, like, a Chris Tucker vibe.
Yeah.
Where, like, Chris Tucker's, blanking on the movie.
Rush
Hour? No. Rush Hour was his breakout. The movie I'm thinking of.
Money Talks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Money Talks. That's Chris Rock for that. I mean, not Chris Tucker, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Tucker for
I
that.
I love Money Talks.
Not a lot of people.
Bad funny.
Dude, it's not a lot of people talk about it, but it's really good.
It's become a bit underrated or forgotten.
Cult classic, if you really.
Yeah. Money Talks.
Yeah, kind of moves like a cult classic, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
he carries that film.
Oh my God. Yeah. But, like, I appreciate that movie, and so that when Rush Hour comes out, you already kind of got a feel for him, but mm-hmm. now he's on, like, 10 with
exactly.
Jackie.
Exactly.
With Jackie Chan. So it's like, oh man, this is great. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's the best experience. But, coming back, mine is I Am Legend.
Okay.
That movie, for me, if I was to give it to anybody, I'm telling you, that's the best movie for me, if I was to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that from him. Because if I give you Men in Black, not to, you know, discredit you.
No.
Men in Black has action and comedy, but if you're coming off of, let's say you didn't see Independence Day, and you're coming off of Fresh Prince, it seems in line with him.
Okay, yeah.
But if you're coming off Fresh Prince and I give you I Am Legend, you're going to be like, this is what he did.
True.
And he acted with no one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know how hard that is? Like, that'd be like, that'd be like me just doing a pod by myself. Like, it's hard because there's nobody to riff off of. There's nobody to go back and forth with.
Nah, he kills it.
You know, he's got a companion. That's it, the dog.
Yeah, the dog. And then, like, even when the woman and her son come, it's still him. Like, you know, that, like I said with the other one, like, he carries
that movie.
Yeah,
it's literally all on him.
Yeah.
So, like,
I remember when I went to the theater to see that too. Man, I was in seventh grade, and me and my friends went to see it, and it was so, I remember how quiet, like, the theater was, because we was just, like, kind of in it, and the movie's quiet, like, in the beginning, like, it's just him walking around, like, the fact that there was a freaking lion in Times Square, like, he's hunting deer, I was like, yo, what movie
is this, bro?
Yeah, now, I Am Legend, I'm not gonna hold you, I Am Legend is probably, when I look back on his entire filmography, that's, like, his last great movie. Because, like, to me, Hancock is, like, the end of his, like, prime.
Yeah.
Like, the end of the peak. Like, the tail end of his peak.
Okay.
But I Am Legend is, like, his last, like, great. Where I'm like, oh, man, this guy is crazy. Like, even with that, I was like, yo, get him the Oscar. Like, I don't care. Like, I loved I Am Legend. And I was so mad when he died at the end of the movie. I was like, yo, what? Because, like, Will Smith doesn't die. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see what they do with two, even though they...
I am also...
Jordan-led film,
apparently. But that's what we was talking about, because we was like, how are they doing this? Is this a...
passing of
this... Is this a Will movie featuring Michael B. Jordan? Or is this, like, are they going Blade Runner with it, where it's Michael B. Jordan's movie, but Will kind of, like, comes in a supporting capacity? Which
almost like I thought I was the only survivor
situation,
and then
they have to retcon the ending because
there's two different endings.
Right, they're going off the alternate ending, which is still kind of weird because like now you can't really watch both movies back to back. Like if there was an alternate cut, then that'd be cool.
But, I mean, they might come out. It's with like maybe a double pack, like
probably
Blu-ray to
put it together. But I think, when it comes to his career where it is now, I think the best move probably is to be in the supporting role.
Yeah.
I think it would be different for people, and just, you know, you wouldn't be expecting that. And you know, Michael B. Jordan's kind of earned that to be like, this is my thing. And he's actually doing a vampire movie with Ryan Coogler. And they've been collaborating, you know, way back since Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, no,
so
that's a duo.
If he kills
faith in,
you know what I'm saying? They're exactly. So it's like they haven't struck out yet. So like, if they make the vampire movie and the vampire movie is hot, you got to ride that momentum and you got to make him the lead.
Yeah, you can't make him too secondary. Honestly, I think Will's time has passed. Mm-hmm. And Michael B. Jordan's wave has kind of died down. It can still go up though.
Yeah.
So I mean, like you said, like the vampire movie could strike gold, boom, and now you give us I Am Legend 2.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make him the star. You can't make him secondary.
Yeah.
You got two lead men. You can't make one of them back like a secondary fiddle because it won't work. It'll be a bit jarring.
It would.
Not to mention, we saw Will for a whole movie. As great as the movie was, we don't want to see another movie like that.
Yeah.
Like, with you, at least. You know, give us the other perspective. Whatever Michael B. Jordan's perspective would be.
I hear that.
And yeah, I agree with you. I think Will is in his supporting bag. He should be in his supporting bag era.
Yeah. Rain, you know, just kills
like
it.
We've seen you. We've seen you kill it in sitcom. We've seen you kill it in mainstream media, movie, music. Yeah. Now just
because with certain actors, it's kind of hard to do that. It's kind of hard to go to the supporting side because everybody's used to seeing you as the leading man. So it's hard to make that transition. Like even even Harrison Ford, like as old as he is, it's still hard to see him in a supporting role because it's like, it's Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
But when he is in that supporting bag, like, he can do it. Yeah. Same with Robert De Niro. Like, when Robert De Niro's in that supporting movie,
he's got that.
He got it. But when he's the lead, it's still, like, it's freaking Robert De Niro.
Yeah, you're gonna watch he's going to deliver. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, like, certain people can do both. Or, like, we were talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, he's still clearly a leading man. Yeah. But when he did the supporting joint in Django,
yeah,
that was like one of his best roles,
dude. So like, out of that whole movie,
yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, but out of that whole movie, all anybody ever references is his parts.
Exactly.
Like
I was surprised he didn't get nominated for that because they gave it to Christoph Waltz. Well, he was cool too. Like he was great in that movie, but like the better supporting role is Leo.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, that's you know, and it'd be, I feel like that would be a smart move for Will, given everything going on. But nevertheless, he's clearly playing leading man again because Bad Boys 4.
Yeah.
So did you see you saw the trailer, right?
Yeah.
So what you think about Bad Boys 4? The
trailer's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting it to be great.
No.
And to be honest with you, when the third one came out, I was like, I didn't think there was a necessary need for 3.
There wasn't.
But, okay, we're here, mm-hmm. you know, and it was cool. So 4 looks to be the same. Yeah. Cool.
4, it's crazy because they had it. Bad Boys 4 should have the title that the third movie has. Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah.
Bad Boys 4, Life. Like, yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's right
there.
So
it was right there, but they gave that to the third one. So now this one's called Bad Boys Ride or Die, which...
Okay.
I mean, that's not even really what they said in the movie. It's we ride together, we die together, so...
Yeah, you're gonna use it.
Fast and Furious says ride or die. So I was just like, yeah, it's not really accurate.
Fast and Furious is families first. That's what.
That's right. No, but I don't know. I mean, it don't work for me no more. I feel like part of part of the appeal of the first two movies, especially the first one, was that they were younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now that they're like
older,
the older guys doing it, it's not.
And you can, but it's kind of not believable.
And when Mark,
when they start doing these crazy stunts, you're like,
yeah. And the Martin part of it it's not as funny as it used to be. Like, I don't know. I mean, and not.
But because Martin is also not all the way in it anymore, anyway. Like,
yeah.
He's already, like, to be honest with you, like, faded out of the.
Because I thought in the third one, I was like, yeah, you know, we kind of passed the Will and Martin vibe, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, I didn't see the third one, to be honest with you. Like in theaters, I didn't go to see it. I've seen like parts of it.
I did.
Yeah, like I know what happens,
yeah, cool.
But like. I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything that I wasn't expecting.
And now we got the fourth one, and I'm just like... And then it's crazy, because the woman who played Marcus's wife in the first three movies,
yeah.
She's not playing her in the fourth one. So
yeah.
Now she got recast, and I'm like, that's going to be really...
That's really jarring.
Yeah.
To do that in the fourth movie. Like,
yeah, how you just...
If you had done it, like, first to second, then you'd be like, okay, I guess you couldn't get her, or
right,
whatever the
right.
case may be. And you continue on with that actress. But, like, you're on the fourth one, potentially the last one.
Yeah.
Depending on how well it does, because we know that the studios like to make money.
Right.
And so we got, like, 11 Fast and the Furious movies.
But, you know, Bad Boys has, like, a weird thing with it. Because they had the first movie, which was cool. And then the second movie came out later, and it was, like, all right. But it had a different vibe to it. You know, it was more excessive with, like, the violence and the cursing and
yeah.
all that stuff. And like looking back on it, I was like, I don't know how I was allowed to watch that movie when Bad Boys 2 first came out.
Because
I was like, yo, it's actually really like adult. Like, Yo, they have they were in the video store scene. Yep. I'm like, yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, I shouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's kind of wild. And then there was a spinoff. I don't even know if you know that.
No idea.
So there's a spinoff show about Gabrielle Union's character, which lasted, I think, one or two seasons. It's her and Jessica Alba. And they're...
That sounds like it's...
It was on Spectrum. I think it's like a Spectrum original show.
It doesn't sound like it went well.
Yeah, I don't know how popular it was because not a lot of people know that. I feel like some of you might be just finding out about that show.
I just found out about that.
It's all right. I don't know if the show ever explains why she's not with Mike anymore, but, I mean, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, I say that to say, like, do I really care anymore? And...
Yeah, I'm
ultimately.
Right.
I don't think I'm gonna see this one in theaters either. I'll probably catch it, you know, when the streaming comes out. But
I just feel like
from a career standpoint, because that was Will's thing. It was always like, let me be real strategic about the movies I make and when they come out and what to do about this. And, I mean, yeah, Emancipation kind of failed, but part of that was because, one, the Oscars controversy had just happened, and then, two, it was on Apple TV Plus when it wasn't in theaters, so it was like, a lot of people don't have, a lot of people I know don't have Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
So, for that to be the only streaming service it was on, nobody was really going to watch that movie. So, it just kind of, like, came and went. And then now, you're kind of trying to do the safe route with Bad Boys 4, but it feels too safe. Like it's and the series is way past its prime.
You're trying to fall back on nostalgia, but the time is gone.
And I feel like that's just not the right move. Like, so
no, I'm not digging it. And I damn sure don't want another Men in Black.
I did at one point, but now I'm like, that series needs to just kind of rest.
Like I said, supporting role. Like you said, supporting role sounds great right now.
Yeah,
I mean, give everybody a break. Have it be like this is the role. That's cool. All right. I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, we can talk about another bad boy. What's going on with Diddy, man?
I don't know. He's on the run. That boy is on the run. I do my best to not follow all the other shit and immediately go to judging. I mean, yes, for years there have been rumors and stories and things of that. All I'm gonna say is that if any of this is true, you could throw them away.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you can. I never vibed with Diddy anyway. If I'm being honest with you, see, I feel like, and this is just me, I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like both of them made a deal, him and Suge, and was like, I'll take out your artist, you take out mine, and that's that. And from that point, I just accepted that you suck. Like,
yeah, I mean, we may never really know the full story with that. It's funny that you say that, because, it's a weird thing with Diddy, because, from the standpoint of, a pioneering, successful black man that did all this stuff, to have it all potentially come crashing down, it's unfortunate. But also, it's kind of like you said, I was never really, a Diddy fan. It was more like what came from him that was cool. And what he was able to build and the opportunities that he gave to other artists, that was kind of like the cool thing. But now if all of that was a result of you doing shady shit and being rude to those people, then it's kind of like, well, how much of a hero were you then? And that part is also unfortunate, because it's like, we're living now in an age of accountability. So,
very much so.
Now, everything that people worked for, if it was built in a dark in like wrong way, then it's kind of like we can't give you that credit no more. And it's as fans of the genre, of the game, of whatever, just so, like again, just supporting like black business, black people doing whatever, to know that like the people we were supposed to be looking up to have these dark histories, it kind of like messes it up a little bit, you know. And we did talk, we've talked about it before with like other people, even with the Will thing. It's like
that he was such
it's,
a.
It's hard to look at it the same, look at him the same way. He's still my guy. You know, I'm still my favorite rapper. Still one of my favorite actors of all time. Love his movies. I love his music. I will support his career all the way. But it's just in terms of like his personal life and things he went through. It's like I can't look to you as a hero anymore. You're just somebody whose career I really like, and that's dope. But it just. You know,
we watched our hero fall, like, in real time.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just unfortunate with the Will situation.
Yeah. And even with R. Kelly, it's like, yeah, people kind of knew, but we tried to, like, deny it. And then even when it's true, it's still kind of like a, like, with people, like, and I'm not to make light of these situations, the victims of all of these situations, but like with R. Kelly, again, as a fan, you're like, nah, that's like the king of R&B, like, you know, how you separate, like we was talking about at work, separating the artist from the art.
But you could keep it going, even so, like Michael Jackson, like,
yeah, like all those things,
a whole bunch of allegations,
and you're like, yo, that's Michael Jackson, yo, that's R. Kelly, or yo, that's Bill Cosby, like these are pioneers, these are like my dude. And then with this situation, it's like, poor Diddy, I'm not over here like, damn, Diddy, like, that's crazy. Nah. Why? It's kind
of
like,
I'll be honest with you. If half of the people he, or more than half, that he put on were complicit with him, that's more of a damn. Like,
yeah,
that's exactly. More of a fuck. Like, because it's like, not only were you garbage, but everybody that you brought was garbage.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, French Montana. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people don't like MGK, but MGK, Mace. I know Mace ain't a part of that, because Mace has been telling everybody for the longest.
Right.
Don't get next to that dude. Don't trust him. So, you know, it calls into question, you know, everything. But I don't know, man. About him, I don't really, whatever.
Yeah. And then with the nostalgia of it, it's kind of like, even with the, I don't know if you've been watching, I haven't watched it, but my cousin told me about it, the Quiet on Set, with the Nickelodeon stuff. Like, like I said, that part of it, where it's like, all these things that we, as kids, idolized growing up, watched and loved,
is crumbling.
Yeah, all these things right that in front of all these things that have such a core like part of our hearts and our memories. It's like, oh, so that was what was really going on. That's what they was really doing that whole time. Like,
the sad part
is what they was into. Like,
the sad part is, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong. Cartoons seem to be the only thing that weren't touched. It almost like it was sacred. Like, no, your little weird stuff. Mm. Over there, cartoons are sacred. Like, so it's just like.
But it makes you wonder.
It sucks though. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty bad, especially for that like Nickelodeon thing.
I know. I feel because like, it's terrible. Because a lot of those people, a lot of those actors, they're like our age or just a little bit older. Like, Drake Bell's not that much older than us. No. So it's like the fact that he was going through that, and we're kids just watching at home. Chilling, thinking like, oh, God, he's got it made. He's on TV doing whatever. And like behind the scenes, all this stuff is happening to him. Like, that's sad, man.
Because you never really know. Like, you know, people put on a mask, you know, brave face, and they keep it moving. And then one day it just poof.
Yeah.
And now you're like, damn, you were going through that the whole time? That sucks.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah, man, I don't. Yeah, no, Nickelodeon, the whole Nickelodeon, to be honest with you, somebody was like, who's ready for that Disney Channel window? And I was like, oof, that's gonna be really rough.
Yeah.
Like Nickelodeon, both are unfortunate things happening. You know, like that Nickelodeon, it's terrible. No ifs and buts about it. There should have been people, the parents, everybody should have been there to watch and be there. But like I talk about this with other people and I'm like, it's terrible because a lot of these parents, a lot of them go away for money. Mm-hmm. Like, here, I'll give you like 50 grand. You know, back to your point about R. Kelly, how many of those stories were told where it was like, yeah, we gave them like 15,000, 20,000, and I was able to take their daughter for like 2 weeks. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
How? How? That couldn't be me. That, I'm sorry. That's not happening. Where were the parents?
Like, that's how
the Drake Bell situation, the father knew, but the mother, like, didn't care.
Yeah.
So it was like, the father's telling you, yo, don't leave him alone with him.
Yeah.
And you just completely was like, nah, I'm not listening to you. He's safe, or whatever the case may be.
And that's how I used to always feel about the Michael Jackson situation. I was like, yo, you know, no one rarely ever speaks about, like, who these parents are, like, what's going on? Because, you know, whether or not all of that was true, whatever wasn't, I, you know, it's hard for me to get into that when I talk about Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson is another hero of mine.
Same as
mine. Like, when I think about the situation just objectively, it's always been weird to me. Because even when I was a kid, as much as I idolized Michael Jackson, I never wanted to go to Neverland Ranch. I never did.
No.
I never wanted to stay at his house. I never wanted to go there. The park, Six Flags is more fun than Neverland Ranch. Like, I'd rather go to Dorney Park. Like, why would I go to Neverland Ranch?
And because Michael's there.
Yeah, but for me, it was just, you know, and my mother never would have let me do that. But so it's just that whole thing of like kids staying there never registered to me. I was like, why are they there in the first place? Like, I get it. Like, it's Michael Jackson. But at the same time,
the parents would. To me, the parents would have more out of that than the kids would.
Right.
Because the parents grew up with him.
Exactly.
So it just didn't register to me as well. Because I'm like, you pushing your kids towards that?
Yeah, and no matter how famous a person may be, for you to be okay with a child being with that person without you around, this just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it's...
So that was always weird to me.
It's really terrible. Like,
yeah.
It just takes like a little bit of money, and you just turn your back on your kid, like,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I don't know where they're at. Like, you can go to sleep peacefully not knowing where your kid is.
Right.
No. That's
exactly
crazy.
Exactly.
No.
Does not make and you know, we're parents.
Yeah.
There's no way I would ever do that.
That's
with Michael and Denise.
My kid don't sleep over no one's house. She sleeps at her grandfather's house. That's it. Only people. Nobody else. Yeah. And it'll stay like that.
There you go. And you're all the way right.
It'll stay like that.
You're right.
Like, and that's just me. You know, everything that I've been through and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just not taking a risk with you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I don't know, if you know. I don't know, man. Because I was thinking about that, too. Like, would I even be comfortable with her having friends stay over mine? Because I wouldn't be comfortable with her staying over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, I couldn't do it as a parent. I'd be like, yeah, no, I don't care about no money. You're not taking my kid nowhere, bro.
Yeah.
What you mean? Like, and that whole Drake Bell situation with him sleeping over his house. Dude. I swear, I was hearing things like that. I was having moments of just rage. Like, and you thought that was okay?
Yeah.
What? No.
And even on a lighter note, like, a lot of these stories may not be as dark, but when you think about, like, all the shows now that are doing podcasts, like The Wizards of Waverly Place, Even Stevens, you know, everything with like Christy Carlson Romano, the stuff that she's been doing, you know, even before her podcast, when she used to just do the video channel on YouTube,
the blog,
she would just talk about like how things were on set and how it worked and the reality of being like a child star and like how much you get paid and the royalties of it all, like what the certain parents that just, like, it's wild, like you said, like the parents that are just so desperate to like ride that wave and like make money off of your children is so wild that you just lose all sense of like morality and conscience.
Not only that, but like more often, like you hear their stories, their moms, their parents robbed them. Like, like they, by the time they hit like 17, they have no money left because they took it all. And it's like you could have that thing like, oh, they were taking care of them. Nah, bro. If I'm getting paid how much?
Word.
If, let's just say I'm getting paid as a kid actor and it goes up from there. So let's say I just start out at $5,000. $5,000 an episode. Then as I get older, it goes up to 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I have nothing by the time, like, you can't, I'm sorry. You what'd you do with all that money? You know what I mean? So now I gotta figure it out as an adult. You know, and I just did all this work essentially for you to spend all the money. Now if you held on to the money, that's a different story, because now clearly you are looking out for my future. But yeah, hearing their stories, it just sounds really terrible.
And some aren't all that bad. Like,
no, not at all.
Like the Boy Meets World podcast. You know, they just talk about like their experiences on set and how it was. Like just the, like again, just the realities of being like a child actor, and that it's not as easy as it looks, but it also can be like a fun experience. It also can be a time that you look back on fondly, but it's just like it's not what the audience thinks it all is, you know. And I'm thankful for the way my parents raised me, because like I always wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to do music. Like, so it's weird, it's hard for me when I hear stories about this world, this industry, and like the way it just pulls people in and you just get lost in it.
Because
it's like a voice. I want to be successful, but then when I see what everybody goes through, I'm like, damn, do I want that?
Is it really worth
but
it?
It's also, but my parents raised me to be like, yo, you don't want that life. Like, you don't want that side of the life.
No,
like,
just you can have success
focus
without
on being
that
creative. Don't focus on being famous. You know what I mean? And that's always been like my thing. Like, I don't want to be famous. I want to be successful. I want to be wealthy in a sense that like I can take care of my family.
Yeah.
But and I want to make an impact where like I leave a positive like impression on the world. But it's just, you know, everybody's flawed, everybody's got their ways, everybody that you look up to is just like, they're not, you know, they're not perfect.
You know? And Will is a perfect example of that.
Yeah,
you know, like the veil was lifted once that happened. But to the Nickelodeon thing, I've been saying it for so long that Amanda Bynes looked like she was going through it. And like,
yeah,
looking at her now, like she's got dead eyes. Like, oh, every time I look at her, it's not the, it's the girl is gone. The girl that we grew up with is gone.
Yeah,
she is not there. Like, what is there is like a empty husk, like a shell. And like, yo, her eyes are so black and dead. Like it's just rough, man. It's rough. So like when you hear about that situation too, like when you, it's just, it's terrible, man.
I just wonder like where we go from here, you know? Like, you know, I think because it's a tough thing. Like I said, age of accountability. You want the people who did these wrong things to be called out on it and, you know, justice to be served. But at the end of the day, I was, you know, the damage more often is just, it's what's done is done. And for better or worse, these people are changed because of that. Yeah. And now, you know, we got to focus on the healing as well. And just hopefully that by letting this out, it's the step towards, like,
well, the problem the is that
better. Because you know, because we do, because it's like, for the sake of the headlines, the focus is on all these people did terrible things.
Yeah.
And it's like they almost get even more notoriety because they're being called out on what they've done. But at the same time, we you know, like, there should be just as much focus on, like, the process of, like, how people have changed over the years, you know? Like, with, like, Britney Spears went through what she went through at the height of, like, the manicness.
Yeah.
That was the topic.
Yeah.
But then when she started changing her life and getting better, nobody was really talking about
no.
it. You know? Or even, like,
because negativity sells, that's why.
Right.
Nobody really cares about positive.
And that's the sad part. It's like, we gotta, like, do the positive stuff. Like, even with Shia LaBeouf, like, Shia LaBeouf is still, like, a controversial kind of person. But, like, throughout everything he did,
seeing the change.
That interview on Real Ones,
John Bernthal, yeah.
It was like, that was one of the most raw.
Yeah, I watched that like 6-7 times.
Yeah, like, but that's one of the most, like, open, vulnerable moments of a man that I've seen, yeah, where I'm just like, damn. Like, and he called himself out.
Yeah.
Like, that was the crazy part to me, because even with that, I remember watching his interview on the podcast, and thank you for putting me on to that. But, like, that interview when he was like, yeah, you know, I did Honey Boy and, you know, I did all that, but that wasn't even real, bro. He's like, my father never really did all those things. It was just me, like, you know, doing yeah. whatever. And I'm like, damn, because that movie was, like, real. Like, I love Honey Boy, and that was one of his best performances. And then when he calls himself out, and he was like, yeah, you know, like, I was writing that script and did all that, but, like, that didn't even really happen like that. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. So it's just, but the fact that he was able to just be like, yeah, I've done, like, a lot of terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And his battle with, like, alcoholism and his step towards, like, Catholicism and learning about stuff and him being a father now and having a child, like, he was allowed the space to be like, yeah,
rehabilitate, you know? to get better.
Yeah.
And I
wish, like, stuff like that was more at the forefront.
But it won't, it doesn't grab attention, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even with us right now, if I say something that's catchy, that'll grab the attention more than whatever the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we ain't famous because we don't talk about toxic shit.
No, not at all. I'm not a fan of Jada Pinkett Smith. She sucks. I don't care. She ruined Will Smith. Done.
She comes here, by the way.
I know. I saw that picture. I'm
sorry.
I was thinking that in my head. I was like, you know, she did a podcast because I saw it on the IG.
Yeah. Oh, man. Listen, I apologize. I don't want
to. Not to me. What?
I mean, look, that'll probably not. Be. But even that hot take, that statement right there might be, like, the biggest part of this whole episode.
Yeah.
We put a clip out of that, boom. But it's like, you know. But everybody has their space to have to say what they need to say. But I just, you know, we try to make this platform a place of just a more, I don't want to say mature, but just like a different, it's just a different look, a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that should be addressed more. And I think as men, as fathers, I think we have taken steps as friends to, like, hold each other accountable and be like, yo, like, you know, you should try that a little different, or, like, you can be real with me and, like, be vulnerable with me, but I'm also gonna tell you, like, what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like,
you're not my friend if you can't tell me I'm fucking up.
That's what
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I don't want that. I don't want the opposite side of that, like, no, you're good, because then you're doing me a disservice,
right?
That's why it never works when you have yes men around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's never good. Yeah, that'll happen. That'll go on for so long, but then when reality hits you, it's really gonna hit you. Like, yeah. And then you're gonna be like, oh, but they were telling me I was good. Yeah, that's because they were scared of you, or they just didn't care how everybody looked at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But we trying to, you know, we trying to be different. I was gonna get into the Kendrick thing, but we don't have to like go as deep into it because we kind of like trailed off on something.
It was calm,
but it was cool. I mean,
it was calm.
You know, I'm more of a J. Cole person myself, but like Kendrick's dope, and I like a lot of his stuff. Good Kid is probably still my favorite of his albums.
I just need to see these three get on one record and give me your best shot. That's it. I don't care. Be men. Get in the booth, all three on one song. Yeah. Let's go.
And just let the public decide?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
What are we doing? Just how long has this beef been going on for?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I want to see all three of you get in inside the booth and see who murdered who.
It made me miss, when... Me and my bros used to all make music. It was like, we were never really competing with each other. We was just all trying to make it. But it was always funny, like, when one of us would put out a project and we'd all go to each other's sessions and just kind of, like, watch how we did it. And it was like, oh, damn, I see how he does. I see his flow. I see how he, you know, does whatever. And me, I was always, like, the singer/rapper. So, like, I rap part-time. But, like, it was cool, like, seeing my bros do their thing. And it made me miss like that. Yo, let's just go in the booth and just spit something real quick and just kill it. I want to go back to the studio. It's been a long time.
Sure. But out of the three, he is the one that takes long hiatuses. Yeah. Like, he is the one that has not really been active like that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it kind of makes sense that he would come back and just towards those two.
Crazy.
But yeah. I mean, like, it kind of makes sense because that's what people do when they take a hiatus and you, I don't know who's in your ear or whatever, and yeah. You're like, well, I haven't gotten traction. People not really, you know, let's give them something. Boom.
Yeah.
And Kendrick does that. Like,
and I mean, the heat was directed more towards Drake, I think, than Cole, but I mean.
He caught a stray.
Yeah. I mean, Drake's, you know, we had that conversation. So
I don't know, man. I to be honest with you, the more, because it's gonna be like a Meek situation all over again.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's either gonna be who made the best song versus the best rap.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake is gonna fall on the song side.
Well, yeah, because he has
dude
the
killed
singles.
Him with back to back, right?
Yeah. Commercially,
it was over.
Drake.
Yeah, it Drake was over. Said. Nobody cared about what Meek said. Like.
Yeah.
Even though I feel Meek won,
mm-hmm.
that back-to-back shit came out and just swept him under the rug.
Yeah. But then Drake got this too and had to, like, kind of...
Oh, with Pusha?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Pusha,
he kind of had to,
killed
like...
his ass. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
He kind of had to, like, figure his way around that too. Like, oh, shit, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, bro... Like, we joke about it. Like, bro got forced into being a father. Like, that shit was crazy.
You're not wrong, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, like, it happens, man. Even, mm-hmm. even everybody gets touched at some point. You know, not like that, but, like,
I know.
Nobody's invincible. You're going to get nicked at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't think Drake wants that with Kendrick. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now, J. Cole is a different story. I don't. That'd be interesting. Just them two?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down to watch that.
Oh, of course.
Oh, 100%. Because Cole has been killing everything.
Oh, I can't wait. And he's building up the hype for this
Dude,
next album so well.
He has been killing features. Oh, yeah. My God. For, like, the past, what, 2-3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Dude is nasty, bro. I don't... I'd much rather see him and Kendrick rather than...
Him and Drake?
Yeah, because I'm not looking to Drake for that anymore. Like,
yeah.
Once the veil got... released on Drake, I'm not. Alright, cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's that debate. Like, well, you don't write your own shit. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
Like,
no. You're right.
Like, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Drake, but at the same token, I'm not looking for him to kill shit like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're now in a different stratosphere, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Realistically, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to come back. Honestly, he's one of the biggest artists, if not the biggest artist in the world right now. Barring, like, Bad Bunny and shit, like, from... But, like, you know...
But even with that, I feel like all three of them are, like, on different planes. Like, they just do different things. I don't necessarily think one has to be greater than the other. And it kind of goes back to that same, like GOAT argument with sports. Like, it's kind of... All of them are far along enough in their careers that it's like, whoever likes them by now is not going to change. Like, I'm not going to be swayed to be Team Kendrick. Not that I don't like Kendrick, but, like, Cole is my favorite of the three. Nothing either of Kendrick or Drake's going to do is going to make me change that. Same with Drake. Whoever's a Drake fan, they're going to stay a Drake fan. Like, it doesn't matter.
I still bump. Like, right. It doesn't matter. Like,
and then whoever thinks Kendrick's top, they gonna feel that way.
I'm gonna tune in either one of them drop. It don't matter. Exactly. I just don't. I don't know, man. I just want to see them get on the song and see who does what. That's it.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it is Easter weekend, so for those of you who celebrate, Happy Easter. This is also the end of March, so we didn't really get into it on this podcast, but Happy Women's Month. Celebrate to all the women in our lives that we know and love, and all the women that have done great things. We appreciate you. You know, we respect you and all that. Anything else before we wrap up?
Do you think... Oh, man. I'll bring it back around to Will.
Okay.
Are you cool if he just retires? If tomorrow he just goes, I'm cool. I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm done.
Selfishly, no, because there's still some things that I would like to do with Will Smith. Like, I'd like to be in a movie with Will Smith. I'd even do a song with Will Smith. I don't know how well that'll do, but, like, just for me, it would be, like, wish fulfillment for me. It'd be like, yo, I did a track
with Will Smith. It'd be like a bucket list thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely a bucket list thing. To do a song with Will Smith, that'd be cool. After that, if he wants to retire, I'm all for that. But nah. But aside from the selfishness of it, if he chilled out, it wouldn't really bother me. Because Will's taken breaks before. Now, this one might feel like I kind of had no choice but to. But, like, everybody kind of has their time, and then they kind of fade off from the spotlight, and I feel, you know, Will had a hold on the industry for like a really long time. Then he took a hiatus and other people kind of came in. So then Will was doing his, like, I'm gonna come back and do this, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. Like, he came back and did Men in Black 3, and I didn't really do much. Then he took a little break again and did, like, Focus and Concussion. Those are two better, his recent movies, those are like two of the better ones. You know, then he did like Suicide Squad and Bright, and those movies weren't that great. So he's already been on like a rocky path, whereas before it used to be hit, like who's going to stop him, right? He was like right there with Tom Cruise.
I'm not going to lie though.
He kind of like fell off.
Yeah, because like what was the movie, when did Gemini Man come out?
Like a couple years ago, but yeah, that's
another bad,
right? It's like super mid,
yeah.
So it's like that's not really Will Smith no more. And I look at, it's weird, I look at actors the same way I look at athletes, where it's like if you aren't at the point where you can give it your best, then you kind of should, like, it's your time, you know. And if you're not, and to me, Will is like on that Carmelo, like Iverson kind of thing. Like, if you're not willing to take that step back and do the supporting role thing, then yeah, you kind of should just gracefully bow out. Because to me, Will Smith as like leading man, like, we're coming to the movie to see you, I don't really think that's where he is anymore, personally. And part of that is because of what happened. But, like, he was already kind of heading in that trajectory. Like, he got in the way of his own second, third act. Because it was on, like, it was getting there. He was doing the YouTube shit. He was on IG. He was, like, chilling. He lost weight. Everybody was down for the King Richard. And then, like, he dropped the book. And the book was a hit. And, like, it was... He was on his way.
He was on his way.
And then he was about to win the Oscar. Then he and yet he won, but it still was like...
It's a red eye.
But you slap somebody on TV. So now...
It discredits everything.
Yeah. It's
crying,
like...
None of that matters because of what you just did.
And it's one of those, all right, back to the drawing board things. And then so far, like I said...
Nothing has worked.
Emancipation didn't work. He has a podcast out. I haven't listened to it. But it's like, it's cool, but I don't think it's put him back in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And then now there's Bad Boys 4.
Yeah.
And again, I don't really think that's going to do much. So really, I Am Legend 2, depending on where that is and how that goes, you know, after a while you have a back-to-back duds, then it's like...
You gotta chill. Yeah,
it's kind of over. So if he did decide, I'm chilling. Like, if he only wanted to do the podcast from now on, and he's just like, this is where I'm at now. You know? Like, he doesn't have to officially say I'm retired. But, like, if he bowed out and just been like, you know, I just want to do other things now, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Quickly. Scream. Because I just thought of something.
You want something?
Remember when I said, what if they kept everything on the hush-hush?
Yeah.
And this girl came back?
Yeah.
What if they did that and made her Ghostface?
Which one? Sydney?
No.
What, Tara?
Not Tara. Not
that's
Sam.
Oh.
Sydney is the lead and Sam is the bad guy.
The only reason it'd be a bold take because she is Loomis's daughter and like
It brings it full circle.
But
again, Sydney's gotta go though.
Yeah.
You can't survive this. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
You gotta go.
It's a bold take because we've spent the last two movies with her as a protagonist. So to root for her
we've
and
also,
make her an antagonist would be kind of crazy.
But even in those two movies, they play the field with her battling with being good. Even in the... Remember in the last movie, she kept, like, you know, she was fidgeting.
All right,
like,
so look, they're not...
She's very fidgety. Like,
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Oh, no,
but
bro.
I'm not going to lie to you. I never thought about it until you brought it up because I just always went with the assumption that Sam wasn't going to be in the movie. But I'm not going to lie. If there was a Scream 7... with both Sam and Sydney in it, to me, that's the one time where I would be okay with Sydney actually being the villain. Because she was attacked by Billy. And maybe she just can't shake that. And to know that his daughter is just out there and going through all this stuff. And maybe because she keeps attracting these new ghost faces, maybe she's like, if I kill Sam, I end it all. Then it's finally over. And it's like a twisted form of like, I just want it over with. And the only way I can get it over with is if I start doing my shit. Let me be Ghostface. And like, tragically, even the audience can like sympathize with her a bit. Or to be like, man, she's really traumatized. Like, she's really been through a lot. Like, I get it. And she's still, like, justifiably, she can die in that sense. But it won't be such a heel face turn that where it turns us off to Sydney. It's kind of like, damn, like I get it.
It was kind of like,
she's been through enough.
Yeah,
she's been through enough. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Where it's like, damn. Like
I kind of went the other way on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you went with Sam being like...
Yeah, but only because like...
I just feel like narratively it would have more of a deepness if...
Well, because if he's paid... Because
again, we've gotten accustomed to seeing Sam be like the protagonist, and it would be like a dark fate where it's kind of like, yeah,
we were on this trajectory all along, we just didn't want it.
Yeah,
I kind of went the way where it was like, you're kind of old news. So, like,
it brings it back to what the original motivation is. Billy only did it because he was like, well, what your mom did made my mom leave my dad. And that's why I want to kill you. It's like, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
So if Sydney became the villain because of just Sam's existence,
yeah,
and just like, yo, you're the daughter of this man that caused me all this pain, like, I can't let that stand. Even though I helped you in the fifth movie, like, I came through and, like, saved you, but, like, nah, I can't shake that, though. Like, you're his daughter. And now when I leave and I'm with my family, there's still people killing people. There's still ghost faces going around. So even when I'm not a part of the picture, stuff's still going on. I can't handle that. So now I'm going to start taking care of it myself. That I feel like that's enough of a motivation for the audience to be like, nah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Even though I don't like it, even though it's sad, and yeah, Sydney's probably going to have to die now, it's like, it makes sense.
Oh, God, we always come back to the dark.
She's that's the literal version of, I've lived long enough to see myself become a villain.
Yep, we always come back.
Always go back to that.
Always come back.
But that's it. This whole thing, people, they should listen to us, man.
Yeah, listen.
We've written like four versions of Scream 7, and I almost guarantee all of these are gonna be better than the one that actually.
Yeah, I swear, man. If any one of them come true, I'm gonna be like, yo, we dead talked about that. That's crazy.
So if y'all been following along with our pitches for Scream 7, let us know which one you like. This might be my new favorite pitch out of the ones that...
Well, because I remember I was pitching like
imagined Sam and Sydney being in the same movie. But if that was ever possible, that's the way that I would do it.
And I think it would work. I think, and that's a great way to close the chapter.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you're going to do like anything else with Scream, it has nothing to do with Sydney.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
It's been fun. This was dope. Thank you to Podstream Studios for
thank
having
you.
Us. This might be our spot. Let us know if you want us to stay here. And yeah, catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. Follow us, support our Patreon, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, PhillinHill23, all of that. Use the link tree has all of our stuff. We got everything but merch. We're working on that too.
But we're
getting there. So just keep supporting us and showing us love so we can grow and, you know, give people a different vibe. Some, I feel like they need
something different.
Different. We have enough of the negative. Let's get some love and vibes and, you know, more like a home feel. Like, you know, you can come on our show. If you want to be a guest on our show, let us know, and we'll invite you on. And, you know, we provide a safe space for the hot takes, the cold takes, and everything in between. So, you heard of Biggie and Pac. Well, we're Phil and Hill. Catch you next time.